I wonder, those of you that were here yesterday, if I came around and I gave each of you a sheet of paper and I asked you to write down as much as you could possibly remember about yesterday morning's service, and then I gathered all the sheets in, I wonder how they would all compare. I guess some people, well, maybe you'd struggle to fill even half a page. Maybe some of you might get to the end of your first page and put your hand up like in an exam and ask for more because you can keep going. I wonder how many of you can even remember the four hymns that we sang yesterday and the order that we sang them in. Yesterday's first hymn, those of you who were here. O Come All Ye Faithful. Second one. Third one. Well done. And we finished with? Very good. Now, I guess maybe some of you might have remembered them all, but not necessarily in the right order, maybe. Or maybe you had one blank. We read from three different passages of Scripture. Anyone remember exactly the chapter and verses? Well, that's getting a bit more difficult now. Matthew 1, 8 to 15, Luke 2, 8 to 11, Matthew 2, 1 to 2. Any of the points from the message? Well, now the thing is, if I collected all your sheets in, I guess that probably there will be quite a few differences between them. We were all here. We were all apparently listening. Maybe some better than others. But there will be some differences between what we had written down. So, for example, Graham will probably remember something that Eamon forgot. And Eamon would probably remember something that Graham forgot. But it would all be different. Now, why am I saying this? Well, when we open the Gospels at the beginning of the New Testament, we find written down for us four different records of the life of the Lord Jesus. But all four records are remarkably different in many different ways. But they also, of course, contain many similarities. And the two main Gospels that we tend to read at this time of year are Matthew's Gospel and Luke's Gospel, because they're the two Gospel writers who record all the details about what we know as the Nativity, everything that leads up to the birth of Jesus and the details about how he was born and where he was born and who came to visit him. All those things are found in Matthew and in Luke. Don't find any of that mentioned in Mark or John. And so on the screen you'll see a few of the differences that we find in the Gospels. Now some of you will have known about this, but maybe for some of you, you hadn't realised that there were such distinctions between the different Gospel accounts. So only Matthew records that the angel appeared to Joseph. Only Luke records that an angel appeared to Mary. Only Matthew records the details of the wise men, and only Luke records the details of the shepherds. Mark and John, you won't find any of those things recorded in their Gospels whatsoever. All the Gospels are true, even though all of the Gospels are different. And that would probably be true about all those sheets of paper that you would hand in about yesterday's service. They'd probably all be true, but they'd all be different. So we don't need to worry about the fact that there are these differences in the Bible. We put them all together and we have this great, wonderful picture of the life of the Lord Jesus. And this morning, we're going to consider two verses from John's Gospel, one of the Gospels that says so much about the Lord Jesus but doesn't contain any of those familiar verses that we often read at this time of year. And we're going to look at those two verses, verse 12 and 13, from John's Gospel. Let me just read them through again for you to remind you what they say. It says this: as many as received him, that is Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's what it says. So in verse 12, it says that there is a great privilege that's extended to everyone who's a Christian. All Christians become something that you never were before. And if you're a Christian this morning, doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are, if you will trust in the Lord Jesus, God will make you something that you've never been before. Well, actually, he'll make you many things that you've never been before. But one of the wonderful things that God makes you is his child. He gives us the right to become children of God. We never had that right before because of our sin. But Jesus has dealt with our sin, and we get that right to become a child of God. That's great. So being a Christian, being a child of God, is spoken of concerning those who received him and those who believe in his name. To receive the Lord Jesus is to believe in his name. Now, his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that name, Lord Jesus Christ, is packed full of truth and meaning. Does anyone here know what their own name means? Nikki, what does your name mean? Excellent. Joanna? What a great name. Barry, is your hand up, or are you holding your glasses in the air for some reason? A spearman of royal blood. Who'd have thought it? Names mean something. In the Bible, they were even more important. Not just as a label so that you could actually call someone and they would know you were calling to them, but the meaning of their name was so important. He is Lord because Jesus is God. And as we reminded ourselves yesterday, he's the King of Kings. He is Jesus because that name means he's the Savior. And he is Christ because that's another word for the Messiah, God's anointed one. Jesus was not a mistake. God's anointed one. God knew all about him, knew he was coming. Lord Jesus Christ. And it says you need to believe in his name. So it means you need to believe that he is the Lord. You need to believe that he is the Savior. You need to believe that he is God's anointed one. So let me ask you a simple question. Do you? Do you believe that Jesus is the Lord? Do you believe that Jesus is the Savior? Do you believe that Jesus is from God, God's special one, sent to this world to die for our sins? That's who this message is for. And if you will believe in his name, then you can receive him and you will become a child of God. That's a wonderful message of good news. And that's what verse 12 is talking all about. And verse 13 goes on and says, who were born. Who were born. Now, we've all been born. So what does this one talk about? Where it says, who have been born? Well, in John's Gospel, in the third chapter, John 3, verse 3, This is what Jesus says. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That's what this word is talking about. And where John, in chapter 1, verse 13, talks about people who are being born, he's talking about people who have been born again. Christians have two birthdays. The day they were born and the day they were born again. A few weeks ago, our oldest church member, Claire Austin, celebrated her 90th birthday. And 2 weeks later, she celebrated her second birthday. And in her second birthday, she was 80 years old. 80 years a Christian. Isn't that wonderful? Two birthdays, born again. And that's what this is talking about. And there's another verse in 1 Peter chapter 1. Let me just read this verse for you. It's 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Says this, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, that's things that will perish and wear out, but incorruptible, the word of God which lives and abides forever. It's great. Now, then it uses some very strange words. It says, those who've been born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, what on earth does all that mean? What does it mean when it says that we've not been born of blood? Well, actually, the original Greek word is plural. It's bloods, which helps us to think, well, actually, John probably meant more than just one thing, because he said not born of bloods. So what are the different bloods that are no good for us to be born again? Well, at this point, I need some help to help us understand. We're not born of blood. What does that mean? Now, I haven't asked these three people if they can help me this morning, but I'm going to ask them if they can help me right now. And it's Vic and Brad and Daniel. You don't have to do or say anything, you'll be glad to know, except just come and stand here for about 1 minute, if you wouldn't mind. All you need to do is stand. I'm not going to ask you to do or say anything. What does the Bible mean when it says we're not born again of blood? Now, the reason I've got these three is very specific. You see, I'm related, for good or for worse, for them, to the three of them. Vic's my father-in-law, Brad's my brother-in-law, and Daniel's my little nephew. But the only reason that I'm any relation to them at all is because I'm married to Vic's daughter, I'm married to Brad's sister, and I'm married to Daniel's auntie. And if it wasn't for the fact that I was married to Debbie, I would be no relation to them whatsoever. Stop smiling about it. Would I? But for these three, their relationship is so very, very different. Because Brad is Vic's son. And Daniel is Brad's son. And in the Bible doesn't talk about granddads and grandsons. It calls everyone father or son. So you would be your granddad's son in the Bible. And granddad would be your father. You'd have two fathers, three fathers. And we call them blood relations because they're from one another. I'm not. I'm part of the family through marriage, but I'm not a blood relative. Their relationship is far more special to the three of them than mine is. Now, I hope mine is quite special, but it's not like father and son, is it? It's only because I'm married to Debbie. And when the Bible says you're not born again because of blood, in part it's saying You might be part of a family and they're all Christians, but that doesn't make you a Christian. You've got to believe in the Lord Jesus for yourself. Thank you. You can sit down. And that's one of the meanings. When it says you're not born again of blood, doesn't matter that the rest of your family might come to church or be Christians. You've got to decide for yourself. So not of blood. What else might it mean when it talks about not of blood? Well, here's another meaning coming up. That's someone's drawing of what it might have looked like in the Old Testament when the priests made sacrifices. Or perhaps even in the very early New Testament, when in Jerusalem, every week in the temple, hundreds, maybe thousands of animals were killed for sacrifices. Some of those sacrifices were to atone for sins and things people had done wrong. Some of those sacrifices were thank offerings to thank God for the things that he'd done and his goodness. But there was all of these sacrifices going on. But God says, none of those things will make you my child. None of those things will make you a Christian. So it's not by that blood either. And here's another type of blood. Now, any of the boys and girls, can you tell me what Bible story that comes from? Can you think? When in the Bible did they need to put blood around the doors of their home? Daniel, can you remember? It's the Passover. Excellent. In Egypt, the angel of death was going to come through the land of Egypt. And God said to the nation of Israel, the angel of death is coming, but if you kill a lamb and put the blood around the doors, when the angel sees the blood on the door, the angel will pass over your house and the firstborn son will not die. But in any house where there's no blood, the firstborn son will die. And every year after that, and even some Jews today, every year, once a year, they celebrate the Passover when they remember that shedding of blood. But even remembering through rituals and annual events and things like that, that won't make you a Christian. We have communion where we remember blood that was shed. But simply taking the bread and eating it and taking the cup of wine and drinking it, that won't do anything to you. It's not through blood. No matter which way you look at it, no matter which view you might take, none of those things will do you any good or make you a Christian. None of those things will make you God's child. So it's not of blood. It also says, nor of the will of the flesh. What on earth does that mean? Well, let me read you a few verses from John chapter 3, from verse 18. Says this, he who believes in Jesus is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed, here it is again, in the name of the only begotten Son of God. If you don't believe in the name of the Lord Jesus, you're in big trouble, says God. Everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Everyone practicing evil hates the light and doesn't come to the light. What does it mean, we're not born again of the will of the flesh? It means this simply. You, left to yourself, cannot decide to become a Christian. You'll never do it. Left to your own thoughts and your own devices, none of us here would ever choose to become a Christian. Ever. Because the Bible says we all love darkness rather than light. And given the choice, we'll run away into the dark instead of walking out into the light of God. And the Bible says that's true about every single person. And if you think you're different to that, I'm sorry, the Bible says you misunderstood. We all choose the darkness. We cannot decide for ourselves to become a Christian all on our own. The Bible says it's impossible. Well, that's a bit worrying, really, isn't it? How on earth do I then become a Christian? The next thing is, know the will of man. Now, what does that mean? Now, let me ask you a question. Who here supports a football team? Lots of people support football teams in Liverpool. Who supports Liverpool? Well, who supports Everton? Well, not very many, obviously. There's a few over there and there's one at the back. I thought you were hiding away then for a second. Come on, be bold. Stand up. Now, listen. If you ever go to a football match, whether it's Goodison or whether it's Anfield, the one thing that all the fans want more desperately than anything else is what? More than that, to win. All the fans in the ground want one thing, to win the match. Do you know what? Liverpool fans, do Liverpool win every single game? Everton fans, no, that's obvious, isn't it? It doesn't matter how much the fans want their team to win, there will be days when they lose. All the fans can be willing their team to win. Doesn't matter. If they've lost, they've lost. You can will it as much as you want. They're not going to win every game. And when it talks about the will of men, it's saying it doesn't matter how much other people may want it even. Now, some of you younger ones, you've got mums and dads who are Christians, and they long for you to become a Christian. But even that, on its own, will not make you a Christian. For some of you, it's the opposite way around. You're younger ones, and you've got mums and dads who aren't Christians. Doesn't matter how much you want it. That on its own will not make them a Christian. Well, if there's nothing in me that wants to become a Christian, and if there's nothing that anyone else can do to make me a Christian, how on earth does anyone become a Christian? The answer's in the verse. And it's a really simple answer. What does it say? Those who were born again, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And that is fantastic. But of God. So it doesn't matter who you're related to. And it doesn't matter that you can't make yourself believe, that you can't make yourself to be born again, that you can't make yourself to be a child of God, because God will do it. Isn't that great? God will do it. It's all of God. It's all His doing. He turns us to Himself. He reaches out and saves us. He saves us from our sins. And He saves us while we're still in our sins. So, we tell as many as we can about the Lord Jesus. We pray that every single one of them will be saved, especially those who we know and love. But there's a verse in the Bible that says this, as had been appointed to eternal life, believed. As many as had been appointed to eternal life, believed, because it's all of God. God does it all. Every single Christian here this morning can hold their hand up and say, I'm a Christian because God did it. God, in His love and grace and mercy, was kind to me and drew me to Himself. And I just want to ask you this Christmas time as we meet again this morning, do you know this Lord Jesus? Will you trust in him for yourself? Can you feel that need to trust him and have your hope in him? And that we will all rejoice together because the wonderful work that God has done in your life, just as he's done in the life of everyone else who's a Christian this morning. And that's what it is that we meet to remember. The wonderful things that God has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. That our salvation is all of God and nothing of ourselves.